This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
Joining us on the line now for analysis on what's moving global markets, we have Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, speaking to us out of Canberra. Kingsley, good morning. Happy Monday. Now, U.S. stock markets seem unstoppable with the Dow and Nasdaq ratcheting some serious gains last week. What's your outlook on this super bull run? Has it still got legs?
Yeah, we think so, because the financial conditions are still very accommodative with low interest rates. And the economy is surging as it reopens, particularly in the US. So in the medium term, I think that you'll continue to see the rally in quality growth stocks, perhaps not the unprofitable companies, but certainly the big tech majors, but also in the value cyclicals that are rebounding. I mean, there were big rallies last week for the listed cruise line companies, as everyone expects them to get back to business. But there's a risk that conditions get too good and that the market races ahead into bubble territory. I don't think we're there yet, because earnings are pretty solid, and so this market is pacing earnings gains, and we're seeing good results in many areas. But the risk is that these supply shortages could really put a fly in the ointment for some companies. And so in particular, I'd point out that a stock like Amazon, you know, the big online retailer, they have a pretty large labor force now, and they have a big exposure, obviously, to logistics and rising costs there, along with product shortages, not being able to deliver the goods that customers want. We've not seen yet whether Amazon can successfully pass through price rises to the consumer, but in their last earnings report, they said they were feeling margin pressure. So we'll watch that one closely in the next earnings report to see what's going on.
Are you still keen on pharmaceutical drugs or drug companies that are listed? Because we have news of Pfizer's new novel antiviral drug for treating COVID. Has this changed your view in terms of investment focus from maybe vaccine makers to like bio and tech to companies that are involved in therapeutics like Merck?
Well, firstly, I think any progress at all on preventing and treating COVID-19 is welcome. But we think that the mRNA vaccine firms that were, you know, down as much as 20% on the day last week are possibly a bit oversold now. We'll have to wait, stand back a little bit if we choose to add to them. But I think here the market's pricing in the assumption that we don't need vaccination if the pills are 89% effective in preventing severe hospitalization or death. However, the endemic infection rate without vaccination is still likely to be greater than 60%. So in our view, and I think this is the medical consensus, there remains a need to reduce the risk of contracting the virus, and that means vaccination is probably here to stay. But having said that, the therapeutics market's going to grow alongside that. If anything, what I would point to is that the post-COVID era is likely to see a renewed focus of investors on innovation in medical treatment and medical equipment and also pharmaceuticals.
And, you know, if we shift to stay-at-home stocks like Peloton and Zoom, they took a tumble last week as the global economy reopens and people head back to work. Kingsley, how do you feel about these kind of companies? You know, do you think their heydays have passed?
Well, if you look at the rate at which they've grown revenues since inception, I mean, obviously their fundamentals have been pretty good. But I'd say that the market's more or less fully priced that valuation, and that's why you're seeing a bit of a haircut to the valuations now. And the bottom line is that these companies really need to grow into their valuation now. And the risk that we're seeing with underperformance amongst this basket of stocks is not dissimilar to what happened amongst the leaders in profitability in the 2000 tech boom. If you cast your mind back then, Microsoft hit highs on record profitability for its core business all those years ago. But then in the subsequent wash-up of the tech wreck, it took a full 16 years for Microsoft to recover its former highs. And that was simply a story of ratcheting down valuations. So I think that's the risk here. And I think it's possibly the reason why a lot of investors are chasing, the consistently profitable companies like Alphabet and Microsoft and I guess Apple as well, in the view that that might be the safe place to be until we wait out and see what's going to happen to valuations.
And taking a look down south in Singapore, banks like DBS and UOB have reported a large jump in third quarter earnings. Why do you think financial institutions in the city state have performed so well?
I think the bottom line is that Singapore as an economy has got great leverage to trade across Asia. and the Singapore banks, it goes double for them. And so I think that as we see conditions improve, that's part of the reason why those banks have done well. But also they have significant wealth management businesses, and wealth management is doing pretty well just off the back of rising asset prices. And then I think you also see demand for consumers for mortgages, but also business for loans as they seek to get going again on this restart. So they're pretty good conditions right now for those banks. And we'd expect that to last a while longer because the valuations are still relatively undemanding and they still pay a good yield.
Kingsley, are there any other banks that you are a bull on in this region?
We haven't been closely following the banks outside of the ones that you mentioned. I mean, DBS is a position we've held for some time. In Australia, you know, we hold National Australia Bank and we also hold ANZ and Bendigo, and Macquarie Group, I would add. So I think as far as the region's concerned, we've really put most of our global money into names like DBS and also into US banking because there's a bit of a boom on in mergers and acquisitions. And that's an easy trade to do. You can just buy the XLF in the United States or stocks like Goldman Sachs.
And Kingsley, I'm seeing a headline cross Bloomberg, which is Sydney Airport sells for $17 billion just as air travel opens up. Were you surprised that a deal was finally done on this? Because it was a bit on and off moment. And you see more of these private transactions involving infrastructure assets in Australia then?
I think... Yeah, the short answer is yes, and it has a lot to do with structurally what's happening in the superannuation fund industry because it was pension funds that basically bought that asset. And they're seeing an opportunity to take a leaf out of the private equity playbook and really, you know, gear up and take these companies private and then run them for their regulated cash flows and potential utility-like earnings. So I think there will be more of that. The question in a place like Australia is whether there's still enough assets left to buy. And I think, therefore, you'll see enthusiasm spread to elsewhere around Asia with some of these Australian supers in particular looking to pick up other assets in different markets. And you know, perhaps you know, the Digicel purchase that was backed by the Australian federal government for the South Pacific telco is a sign of things to come as this money spreads out and tries to find new opportunities.
Kingsley, thank you so much for speaking to us today. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global in Canberra, talking to us about trends in the US markets, some of the sectors to keep an eye on, such as pharma and Singapore banks, but also talking about the recent acquisition or recent sale of the Sydney Airport.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting development because you're seeing superannuation funds, which are almost similar in nature to like our EPF, right? Because they're pension funds. And there's just been so much money flowing into it. But because of this low bond yield environment, it's really hard for them to achieve the returns that they want. So they've almost become like private equity funds looking to buy assets at, I suppose, willing to pay higher than what most PE funds are, you know, looking at because just... they've just got so much money and nowhere to park it.
I wonder, because as you say, Australia is its saturation point. I wonder if India is the next place to go for, as you said, right? Where do you park the cash? And we know that the Indian government is planning to privatise a whole bunch of infrastructure assets. Mm. So this could be an ideal fertile ground for these superannuations to target.
Yeah, but I wonder what this means, you know, for the global PE market, because there's been so much hot money in this sector already. And now you have these pension funds putting in their money as well. So it's going to be, is it going to be a case of asset bubble where people overpay for these infrastructure projects? Yep. You know, that's the question I think that we are addressing now and we don't really have an answer for. So I think if I'm an asset owner, right, I'll be like, maybe it's time to sell out, you know, enjoy my gains and then come back into the market subsequently later when there's a little bit more of, I suppose, rationality.
You know what's not rational? The PE ratios for the likes of Peloton and that Kingsley was talking about, multiples of 50, that's crazy.
Yeah, and his point is Microsoft took 16 years to get to the valuations of where we are now, the price. Are we going to wait for 16-year cycle? Maybe that's what some of these infrastructure owners are thinking. Sell now, come back in 16 years.
Perhaps. But you know what's not rational was Elon Musk tweeting. I know it's a bit crazy for us to promote other people's tweets, but Elon Musk had 3.5 million tweets on whether whether or not he should sell 10% stake of his electric car maker stock in Tesla.
That's right. He posted that tweet following, just discussions about whether billionaires are paying enough tax, right? And he doesn't actually get a salary. So the question is whether these billionaires should be paying for unrealized capital gains that they have. And he was kind of responding to that debate and asking people, should I be selling my stock? And I think the majority of them said yes.
Yeah, it's pretty resounding. I think 58% said yes. And interestingly, the question now is, he's going to get about $21 billion. What's he going to do with the money? And just last week,
he's going to pay his taxes.
No. He's willing to spend $6 billion to fight world hunger.
Apparently, they can give him the solutions, right?
Exactly.
But I think the thing to watch is Tesla's share price, because there's going to be a lot of liquidity of this if he carries through with his promise. So when this evening, when US markets open, let's see how Tesla shares debut.
$1.2 trillion valuation.
Will it get a hit?
I think so.
We'll find out. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with The Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.